All right, 6:19. You're listening to the Kelly O'Connell Show, and we've got an attack in San Bernardino. It was on a company picnic, and I got some ideas for you. We need to start expressing our Second Amendment rights. We've got to start caring. We've got to start concealed carrying or even an open carry, because these jihadists and all of these shooters specialize in picking off people that are not able to defend themselves. That's what makes them so brave. So we've got to get our Second Amendment going, you know, and that's all there is to it. Now, here's what the president had to say about right after this attack.
Mr. President, it appears there's been another mass shooting in California. What do you know?
Well, we don't know that much yet. It's still an active situation. FBI is on the ground offering assistance to local officials as they need it. It does appear that there are going to be some casualties. And, you know, obviously our hearts go out to the victims and the families. The one thing we do know is that we have a pattern now of mass shootings in this country that has no parallel anywhere else in the world. And there's some steps we could take, not to eliminate every one of these mass shootings, but to improve the odds that they don't happen as frequently. Common sense, gun safety laws, stronger background checks. And, you know, for those who are concerned about terrorism, some may be aware of the fact that we have a no-fly list where people can't get on planes, but those same people who we don't allow to fly could go into a store right now in the United States and buy a firearm, and there's nothing that we can do to stop them. That's a law that needs to be changed. My hope is that we're able to contain this particular shooting, and we don't yet know what the motives of the shooters are. But what we do know is that there are steps we can take to make Americans safer, and that we should come together in a bipartisan basis at every level of government to make these rare as opposed to normal.
Bipartisanship, that's the answer. And as long as you agree with the president, he's willing to be bipartisan. There's no reason to mention that these guys have Middle Eastern back last names, of course. Speaking of no-fly list, these guys are obviously not on a no-fly list because they were able to get on a plane to Saudi Arabia last month. I got more another clip here for you. This one's from Fox.
Video showing the earlier shootout between police and the suspects. This is the first time we are seeing it. We go live now to Adam, live in San Bernardino with that exclusive. Adam?
Yeah, Megan, I'm going to set all this up for you, too, and give you a little bit more about what Peter King and you were just speaking of, about the names that are being thrown around. I just got off the phone with law enforcement. They tell me one reason why it's being held very delicately, handled very delicately, is because they can't get inside that SUV still. They do believe it's potentially booby-trapped or has explosive devices. They do believe there's more information about the suspects inside, but those names being thrown around potentially could lead them down the path as alluded to in that press conference. So they're being very delicate with this precisely because of the names they believe could be on these suspects. Meantime, where these suspects were shot or where it began was just behind me. I'm going to step away and we'll go to that video. About 200, 150 yards down from where I'm standing, we were there earlier. There was glass on the street. That's where the first the shooting began. The back window was shot out of the SUV. Went about 100 feet further. That's where the first main shootout happened, where they went back and forth trading gunfire between authorities and the suspects. Then they went through the stoplight, and that's where it came to an end, where they were shot and killed. The video you're going to see now is from David. David, I interviewed earlier today. He was in the location basically right where the second shootout happened. So three locations about 100 yards apart between the two, or between the three. He was right there. Here comes the video. Take a look. It's the first time it's been seen anywhere.
All this part of San Bernardino, this is what's going on.
We still got all this stuff going on. Oh, they're after somebody. Oh,
something's going on. There they go. They're after Gunshots. Damn, did you see that? Yeah, there was gunshots. There was shit. Oh, oh, I better get down, bro. Just get out of here. Oh my God. Oh, they're killing that guy. Get inside. Close the gate. We have gunshots. Oh my God, right in front of us, dude.
Okay, so that was at 3:07 local time, 6:07 Eastern this evening for you guys, afternoon for us. David Espinoza was the employee who was there, Megan. You're looking at the live look down there now, and they have it obviously surrounded by all sorts of, not only SWAT team is there, but the bomb team as well, because they're having to actually take a look at what's inside that SUV. They are concerned that it does.
All right, so that is just part of a much longer broadcast from Fox News on this, but the fact of the matter is that people have been very, very nervous about sleeper cells, the idea that the country has been infiltrated from outside or from inside, taking advantage of our liberty, taking advantage of our freedoms to do their own thing and get, you know, buy weapons and body armor and make bombs and stuff. And that they're going to start attacking Americans. Now, these guys went to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the homeland of Islam for a couple of reasons. Number one, it is officially the religion there in the Constitution. Number two, no other religion is allowed there to be openly practiced. And, you know, Christians and Jews can be in Muslim countries, but there's a lot of restrictions. But they don't have you're not allowed to have a Bible in Saudi Arabia. Let's put it that way. That's one of the many rules. And Saudi Arabia is the homeland of the most sacred shrines and places in the history of Islam, because that's where Muhammad was from, Mecca, Medina, all of these places. So, Saudi Arabia is considered by Muslims to be the holiest of holies and the greatest land, because that's where Muhammad came from, and that's why they go in the Hajj and the pilgrimage and everything. So, anyway, this is, in my opinion, from everything that I've seen, a radical Muslim attack. Who it's sponsored by, I have no idea. Is it connected to ISIS? I wouldn't begin to know that. But it is, you know, it's absolutely crazy what's going on in this country. And people are buying guns or trying to get their hands on guns because they don't feel like the government is defending them. Not only that, I mean, obviously to some extent, the government is defending people, but what is being put out there is anti-leadership. You've got the president. We've got this attack that's obviously related in some way to Islam, radical Islam. The president gets up and gives a speech about gun control. I mean, you know, this guy and everybody thinks back to Paris, the comments said after Paris, how the president got angry at those who suggested he wasn't doing enough to combat ISIS, and basically said, I know the truth and you don't, so I'm not going to bother to argue about it. And, you know, it's just, it is, I don't know what to call it other than very discomforting to think that the government has an ideological approach to this stuff in which you're not even allowed to talk about the most obvious thing in the world. So that's why people want to go get their weapons, because they feel like the only thing that's going to give them a chance if they're in one of these situations is if they can shoot back, because they feel like the border is porous. The government is not doing all it can to crack down on these type of people coming in the country, which makes people feel across the board it's going to be lax. Anyway, that's how I'm seeing it. 523-1450 to call in. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell here, and we'll be right back.
Do you want more?
All right, and just covering more of this shooting. They've got the suspects. One is named Syed Rizwan Farouk, U.S. born gentleman, and his wife was Tashfeen Malik. And they left the baby. They were a married couple, and they left the baby with grandma when they went on this murdering spree. So my question is, how long were they planning this thing? And it's got to be, there had to be some deep thought about this. And one of the things is that Farouk was called extremely religious. That's the first thing that caught my eye. Obviously, the first thing that caught my eye was his name, that it looked Middle Eastern, and then that he was an extremely religious Muslim also captured my attention. Here's a little bit from NBC News.
Traveled to San Bernardino, just a few blocks away from where this shooting occurred. And Matt, good morning to you. I can only imagine this is a community in shock.
Oh, I mean, you can't imagine anybody actually fell asleep last night here in San Bernardino. But if they did, they're waking up, yes, in shock. You know, Savannah, I was just watching the open of the show there, and I got a glimpse of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lit this morning. This is supposed to be the most joyous and festive time of the year. You and I were supposed to be part of that tree lighting ceremony last night, and instead, we are waking up this morning, and we're covering another mass shooting in this country. I don't often start covering an event like this by talking about how other people are covering it. But a commentator for the BBC said overnight, just another day in the United States, another day of guns, chaos, and panic, this time in the city of San Bernardino. Let's get right to what we know. These are the latest overnight developments. Police now confirmed there were two shooters involved. Some had thought there were three involved throughout the day. A married couple, 28-year-old Syed Rizwan Farouk and 27-year-old Tashfeen Malik. Relatives tell NBC News they had a six-month-old daughter. They actually left that daughter with her grandmother hours before going on this rampage.
And the motive this morning still very unclear, but the San Bernardino police chief says they are not ruling out terrorism. It is clear that this assault did take some planning.
That's right. Syed Farouk was a county employee. He was attending an office holiday party inside the Inland Regional Center, which is just down the road behind me here. According to police, he left that party. Some in the room say he left in anger. And then a very short time later, he returned with his wife. They were heavily armed and they were wearing military style or SWAT style clothing. And that's when the couple opened fire.
Dressed in black and armed with assault rifles and handguns, the suspects attacked a holiday event for San Bernardino County health workers. Overnight, authorities identified the suspects as Syed Rizwan Farouk and Tashfeen Malik. A family member tells NBC News the couple were married and had a six-month-old daughter. Both were later killed in a shootout with police.
Mr. Farouk is a county employee. He works with his title as an environmental specialist in the public health department, has been employed there for 5 years.
Police say Farouk left the event after some sort of disagreement, coming back with Malik, both armed with assault rifles and handguns. Explosive devices were also used in the attack.
I think that based upon what we have seen and based upon how they were equipped, there had to have been some degree of planning that went into this. We have not ruled out terrorism.
We have at least 20 victims.
It all started shortly after 11 Wednesday morning at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, some 60 miles east of Los Angeles.
Male in black clothing, still firing rounds.
Chaos quickly followed. The triage scene outside like the aftermath of a battle, with some of the wounded being loaded into pickup trucks before being raced to local hospitals.
You guys back right now.
With the gunmen at large, lines of workers were escorted out. with their hands in the air. Family members who'd rushed to the scene waited anxiously outside for word.
What are you going to do when you see your wife?
I'm just going to hug her.
Several tense hours later, police located the suspects as they tried to flee in a black SUV.
Get out of it. We're getting out of it. SUV. He's not registered. Responding in. Roger, crossfire.
PD has crossfire. They're being shot at by unknown subjects referenced in the AOD. All units copy.
Suspect down in the westbound lane. Not conscious.
Both suspects were killed at the scene, each heavily armed. An officer was wounded in the shootout, but is expected to be okay. Syed Farouk was a native-born American citizen who attended local schools. Overnight, his brother-in-law apologized to the victims, but gave no indication of a motive.
On behalf of my family, for the victims, it's unbelievable what happened. I am very sad, like deeply sad and shocked.
As investigators combed both crime scenes for leads, some families reunited tearfully with loved ones. This woman's sister survived being shot in the back.
The doors opened, gunmen started shooting, everyone, you know, hit the floor. It lasted for, she said, probably roughly 30, 40 seconds. It paused for a moment, started again, and then they were gone, didn't say anything.
All right, so let me tell you this.
If you're traveling for the holidays,
what kind of a person goes to, you know, gets married, has a baby, and then takes the baby to grandma's house, gets his wife heavily laden with weapons and military gear, that they knew they were going to die. I mean, obviously, it's one of the weird things about this situation is there's this black SUV that this Farouk is. Or his wife was driving, going down the street, and they've got the hazard lights on. It's just weird. You know, why would they do that? Just draws attention to them. So anyway, the police, after the shooting, they located this van, and then the police chased him down and shot, and they had a shootout, and they died, and they obviously wanted to die as, I mean, it would seem apparent that they wanted to die as martyrs. So let me ask you this. When these people, let's just assume that there's some religious element to this. Guy was highly religious. This was planned. Guy had a wife and a brand new baby. No normal person would go and, you know, get into a firefight and give up their life in that situation. That with that background, a brand new family. But what is their motivation, and what is their justification, and you know, why? Who are the people that they want to kill, and why do they want to kill them? 523-1450. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. We'll be right back. All right, so what's your answer? They're trying to kill people. Who are their victims in their mind? Who are they trying to kill, and why? Now, I will tell you from the doctrines of Sharia law. Sharia law is Muslim law. Sharia means the path, although technically it means the path to the watering hole, the path to the oasis, whatever. In Sharia law, I'll just tell you some things that will make you very uncomfortable, but might as well get them out there. The idea of just war is a theory of war that comes out of the West. It comes out of originally the first important person who writes on it is St. Augustine. But it is, I believe it's covered by Thomas Aquinas, but as well. But just war theory is the idea that there are good wars and bad wars. There are right wars and wrong wars. And in the West, we consider a good war to be one that's morally justifiable. And it's justifiable, for instance, because you're under attack. So your country is being attacked through no fault of its own. To fight back is to enter into a just war. Attacking Nazi Germany because they had a bunch of people in concentration camps and were trying to take the world over for an evil ideology is a just war. All right, so in Islam, there's no such thing as the idea of a justified war, or the just war theory doesn't exist there in the Sharia law. What is a just war in Islam is when a believer attacks a non-believer. That's it. And so, according to their doctrine, they could use the justification that they're killing non-believers or people that are fighting against the God's things. You know, these very basic, you know, Westerners can and should be killed according to these people because they don't believe. And further, our country is involved in the Middle East. And one of the problems that these guys have is that the Muslim nations are supposed to have absolute sovereignty. No other nation is supposed to come in and put its imprint or its any manipulation or involvement in any of these countries. That's just totally off the reservation for them. So that's one of the things that was the guy that was killed by Obama. What's his name? The guy that was behind the bombing. That's one of the reasons that he stated that it was okay to 9/11 because we were involved over there. But it is an uncomfortable thing to think that there are many of these people, and according to the calculations by, I mentioned this guy the other day, Daniel Pipe said, there are hundreds of millions of people who are within the description of individuals who would have the ideology and the ability to fight for jihad, mostly young men, 20 to 30, who had accepted the doctrines of jihad, holy war, and that they would be available if the opportunity came up for jihad. Hundreds of millions of these people around the earth. That's why we see the earth is on fire with these attacks right now. And so the real question is, you know, the real question is how many sleeper cells, let's just boil it down. How many sleeper cells are in America? How many of these people are here and willing to go to battle with us and to try to put us down? Here is the shooting victim, one of the shooting victims, recounting the attack in San Bernardino.
A niece was wounded in the shooting, and after a very long night at the hospital, he is with us now. Salahin, good morning.
Good morning.
How's your wife doing?
She's doing remarkably well.
She was shot three times, is that correct?
Yes.
Once in one side, one arm.
She had shot on the right arm and went through this arm and went out, and one here and one past the abdomen, but just barely didn't go inside.
I know there was some talk for a few hours yesterday that she might need surgery. Is that now a possibility she won't need that?
Possibility she may not need that. Only the bullet fragments are inside our body.
What did she tell you? I know you got to the hospital. You were out of town. You flew back in to be by her side at the hospital. When you got there, what did she describe?
We become very emotional, and it's like, thanks God that she survived with this kind of, you know, situation. And my kids, they reunited with her. Still, we have a small baby. She hasn't reunited with her yet. In the morning, probably I'm going to bring her to the hospital.
Did Anise tell you what she saw, what she witnessed inside that regional center?
She could not see who's the shooter because everybody ducked down. So this bullet was flying all over the place. She crawled herself into the bathroom. Then she realized her hands are bleeding.
Is it true that some of your family members were actually watching the coverage of this tragedy on television and saw your wife being treated in the triage?
Yes. Actually, my son told me that his friend told him that they saw her in television that, you know, inside that triage, you know, treating.
You've heard what we've heard about the two suspects who are now dead after carrying out this attack. What do you think inspired them? Do you have a gut feeling?
I think any killing, any human being should be an act of terrorism. So, you know, I think we need to control our gun law in our country.
So whether this was political or ideological, you would label an act of terrorism no matter what?
No matter what, any kind of killing human being should be act of terrorism.
Salahina, I appreciate you joining us this morning. My best to your wife.
All right. So all killings of people are terrorism. All right. And control the gun laws. I guess not from around here anyway. But Kelly O'Connell, 650 on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. What should we do? What can we do to protect ourselves? Give me some calls, folks. We'll take a little break here. All right, we're talking about this terrorist attack in California, homeborn terrorists. And the police, Wednesday night, last night, were investigating the Redlands home, Redlands, California, of Syed Farouk. He is the person who was shot in the vehicle. He's the person that came and shot all the people at the party. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Jerry. Hey, Callie, can I give you an answer that I think we need to start at?
Yes.
We need to start to admit that we do have a problem, first off.
Just like AA.
Done. Yes, sir.
You get nowhere until you admit you have a problem.
Yes, sir. And we also need to quit blaming the people that aren't doing this, like the NRA. They're not the ones out there shooting this up.
Let me tell you one thing. All of these shootings, whoever, regardless of who motivates them, all of these shootings would have been cut short if people were allowed to carry and had guns. No one's going to sit there and allow themselves to get picked off like a rubber duck at a carnival floating around in a barrel if they've got a gun.
Yes, sir. I agree. Totally. Totally. But people out there in the media out there are trying to blame this type of thing on people that are not guilty.
Well, it's the president. I mean, the president gets up there. The president has refused to call the Fort Hood shooting terrorism, even though the guy was screaming Allah Akbar as he was mowing down these unarmed military people on this base. We've got to get away, like you say, from denial. You know, denial is not just a river in Africa. Jerry, I got to go. I've got to get
into,
thanks a lot. All right. So they went to this guy's home in Redlands. And it was actually the home of his sister and mother. And the other person was his wife that was killed in this. And they said that a man who had been working in the area said he noticed a half dozen Middle Eastern men in the area in recent weeks but decided not to report anything since he did not wish to racially profile those people. Quote, "We sat around lunch thinking, what are they doing around the neighborhood?" He said, "We'd see them leave where they're raiding the apartments. So we've become so politically correct. This is a fact. It's affected all of us. It's affected me. It's affected you." Political correctness comes along. Understand one thing. Political correctness is not fundamentally about speech, even though that's how it comes across. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can't make racial jokes, sexist, gender, blah, blah, blah. Can't make fun of Caitlyn genital. But it is about mind washing. It's about thought control. You can't say these things because they're bad things to believe. A bad person believes that there's a connection, a likely connection between Islam and terrorism. A bad person believes, you know, fill in the blank. So because we can't even talk about this stuff, we can't think about it. And these people don't want to be, think about it. You can't report suspicious activity because you're not allowed to talk about it. And the reason you're not allowed to talk about it is you're not allowed to think about it. You can't think about it because you're not allowed 1 + 1 = 2. Are you willing to die for political correctness? I'm not. The problems that we're having in war over in the Middle East to a large extent are affected by political correctness because you have proportional battle rules in which you can't overwhelm your opponent. It's crazy. And in following political correctness, what have we gained? What's the payoff? What are the great fruits of political correctness? Everybody's walking on eggshells. Everybody feels guilty. Nobody can joke around anymore. Everybody's constantly worried about being called a racist or a sexist or a bigot. This political correctness is killing us. These individuals could have been caught, possibly, if this guy who said, what are all these Middle Easterners doing coming into this house? What are they doing? So you know what this also tells me? This is a group. This is a cell. They were working on this together. Now, where are those other people that were involved in this is what I'd like to know. I'm really curious. And how many attacks is it going to take before we start calling a spade, before we start calling terrorism, terrorism, and that we're not afraid to say, well, these very religious Muslim people did this. They obviously planned it for a long time. They're very religious. Quite likely, they're motivated by their religion. We're going to come back and talk some more about this. 659 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450. Give me your answers when we come back for how we can make ourselves safer and give us a better chance of surviving these things, because there's going to be more of them. You and I know that.
É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho. É um resto de toco, é um pouco sozinho. É um caco de vidro, é a vida, é o sol. É a noite, é a morte, é o laço, é o anzol.
Da madeira, é uma tica
que é madeira de vento, é um mistério profundo,
é o que eu não quero.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, this happened so quickly after the Planned Parenthood shooting that we didn't get to discuss that one. You don't think that extreme Christians had been involved or might have inspired the killing up?
I've got to study that. You're right. I was meaning to do a background study on that guy. I don't know anything about him.
Well, it seems anybody can take their religion if they have a beef about something and twist that religion into justification for this type of an attack. I hate to blame all Muslims, because you get a couple or some that grab that religion and justify what they do with it. This could have been a personal vendetta this guy had against his boss or something, and He's a Muslim.
It could have been,
and
but look at
him.
Look at this. You've got people that we know that were extremely religious Muslims.
Right.
They drop off the baby a couple hours before. They go to this party. He leaves angry, but they come back. They've obviously been preparing for this probably for months. I mean,
right.
So,
and you know what is I find very disturbing is that he had traveled to Saudi Arabia.
That part is totally. That part makes me so nervous.
Me too, because, you know, Saudi Arabia is not our friend anywhere in Turkey or anybody else over there. And, you know, what, 9 of the attackers on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
So that is a hotbed of Islamic extremism. And he just came back from there. So, yeah, it'd be real interesting to see what's going on. But you just can't lay it all on the Muslims. You got radical Christians doing these bombings.
Wait a minute. If there's a religious attack, a terrorist event in the world, what are the chances that it's Christian?
Yeah, 90. I mean, 10, you know.
Probably,
I mean, most of them are going to be Muslim attacks.
Yeah, probably 1% or less.
Right.
So, I mean, we got to be realistic. We do have another call here, and let's get to that. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. It's Bev.
Good morning, Bev. What's up?
Well, first, what is that music you're playing?
That is the Waters of March, and it is the two people singing is Tom Jobim and Elise Regina. Tom Jobim is the great. Just for everybody's information, the great composer of bossa nova music. It comes from Brazil. And then Elise Regina was basically the most famous and popular singer of the time. And it's actually Tom Jobim, the writer, singing a duet with her. And it's unbelievable piece, but it's called The Waters of March. Aguas de Marco.
I like it.
Yeah, phenomenal.
It's not French. I was thinking if it's French music, I would play it at my Christmas party.
Well, you can still play French music at your Christmas party and eat cheese.
Yes, I'm going to think about it. I'm glad nobody called in to criticize gun-carrying Americans because as long as our government is politically correct and they cannot define the enemy, we're going to be left to our own devices. And that means that every man be armed, just like our Second Amendment provided for us. And as long as they choose to not live in peace, then you have the right of self-defense. That puts us at a disadvantage already.
Yeah, we're being disarmed by the government and then put into these situations where these shooters show up. People get shot, and then the government blames the populace for supporting gun rights.
So look at California. They have the strictest gun control laws on the west side of the Mississippi, and they also were having a Christmas party. So this religion attacks our religion. Our freedom comes from those God-given rights where we have the right of self-defense, we have the right to free speech and all of that. And then they also shot a bunch of unarmed people, which shows what cowards they were. And if somebody there had a gun, it's just like the gentleman called earlier, one guy with a six-shooter stopped the terrorist in Texas. And that's all it takes. They already chose to trespass the law by committing a felony in public. So everybody has the right to stop a felony in public.
Right.
That's as simple as that. So people need to carry their guns, exercise their rights.
Okay, Bev. Well, thanks. I got to go. I'm running out of time. I got some ads. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So I want to tell you something else just out of and we got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Just a brief call. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. Briefly, it's Mike.
Yeah, please, briefly, for once.
Do you know that there was active shooter drills at the Inland Regional Center every month?
Well, it's
and
true.
And they were having one the same day as a shooting. That's how they caught these guys so fast.
I didn't know they
so
caught
like
them
a,
fast because there was 14 killed, but okay, and?
Well, no, they caught the shooters really fast. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. They had shot 14.
But it was the staff was treated that the drill started as the police raid began.
Interesting. Well, that's a little bit of blind luck there. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, got to keep it moving here. And AMLush Cusis, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 523-1450. We'll be right back.
No rosto desgosto é um pouco sozinho, é um estrepe, é uma ponta, é um pingo, é um
Bernardino, and we are just about two blocks away or so from where that final shootout happened, where those two suspects, a husband. Now, as the world mourns the tragedy in Paris, people in Paris wonder how this could happen to them. How and why were the individual denizens of the City of Light, how did they become a target of such terror? Some point to Wahhabism and homegrown terror. Wahhabism is the practice of what is considered to be a more strict form of Islam, which in people
instilling confidence in a plan, making it.
All right, just a few more minutes here, but I've got a eyewitness to the shooting. I've got about three clips I'm going to try to squeeze in here, but they're describing it like Vietnam.
We met a couple other people coming down the street saying that they heard the gunshots as well, and pretty much everybody just hit the ground.
Is also on the scene with another eyewitness.
We've got a phone call. Thanks for calling when I'm doing a clip. Who's this?
Kelly. This is Ralph. I hate to be contradictory all the time, but it took over 2 hours from the time it started at 3 minutes to 11 to the time they stopped that SUV. It's 2 hours, and I forget how many minutes. That's not fast. Mike, I have to disagree with you. Sorry.
Mike said the shooting in the shooting in the. Thanks for the call. Mike said the shooting in the building was very fast. All right. Here is a little clip from the Paris shooting on Wahhabism. Check this out.
In Paris, wonder how this could happen to them. How and why were the individual denizens of the City of Light, how did they become a target of such terror? Some point to Wahhabism and homegrown terror. Wahhabism is the practice of what is considered to be a more strict form of Islam, which insists on the literal interpretation of the Quran. And it has been the dominant faith in Saudi Arabia for over 200 years. It picked up a lot of steam in Saudi Arabia in the 1970s when charity groups began funding madrasas, that is, schools which teach this form of Islam that has now grown from Pakistan to the coast of Los Angeles. I was joined earlier by former CIA agent turned whistleblower John Kiriakou to discuss this.
Wahhabism is a uniquely Saudi brand of fundamentalist Sunni Islam, although it's also practiced in the small Persian Gulf country of Qatar. The Qataris really have not allowed it to dictate every facet of their lives as the Saudis have. So
it's, Kelly,
it,
who's
it's
this?
A strongly anti-secular, anti-Shia, anti-Christian and Jewish fundamentalist strain. The real problem with
what?
Saudi Wahhabism is that the Saudi government
passively allows
Wahhabi extremists to raise money, not just from your run-of-the-mill average Saudi national, but also from members of the Saudi royal family and members of the Saudi business elite. And a lot of that money goes to financing groups like Al-Qaeda and like ISIS. So where the Saudis can say officially that they oppose those groups, certainly Saudi citizens, including members of the Saudi royal family, are the ones behind those groups.
All right. So we've got a problem with Wahhabism, which has been true for decades. Wahhabism, I believe, the 19th century, end of the 18th century. But we've got an issue with Saudi Arabia. You know, we've got enough oil over here to probably meet all our own energy needs without Saudi Arabia. But everything's getting shut down because the Saudi Arabians have flooded the market to break the back of the frackers. Got another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike again.
Mike.
You know, real quick, Kelly, the
quickly.
Neighbor of the shooter didn't report him because they didn't want to be labeled a racist.
Mike, that was already reported while you were sleeping. Thank you. Okay, so this Saudi family is a problem. We've basically got in bed with the devil because we wanted the oil, and you know we've helped to make their country safe by selling them arms and training, but it could backfire on us. It already has. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. We just got a brief second. Who's this?
This is Donna O'Daniel, and all I want to say is I'm for the Second Amendment gun rights. And if you believe that, call your senators and representatives in the U.S. Capitol. Tell them that. Tell them you don't want gun control in this country.
Thank you, Donna. Have a good day.
202-224-3121.
Thanks. All right. A brief statement is 15 seconds. In any event, there's a couple of different issues. Do we need to – I mean – these people are flying to Saudi Arabia and flying back. And all right, look, guys, somebody said it was a new day. I think it was Russ that said it's a new day. We've got to be able to adapt if we're going to survive. We may need new rules. We need more guns on law-abiding citizens' hips and in their armpits and wherever you can hide a gun. We need more armed citizens. We need to be able to defend ourselves. Blog Talk Radio, by the way. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Massive shooting in California, San Bernardino. The shooter was a devout Muslim. They filmed it on GoPro cameras. They were heavily armed, a man and a wife, a husband and wife, terrorist team. So is the government going to talk about that? Is it going to is the president finally going to allow himself to say radical jihad? I mean, you know, what's going on in this country? We can't even defend ourselves. Kelly, you're on 759. Hope you have a great day. AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. We'll see you back in 22 hours. Ciao.
Pega a raça de cana, os filhacos na estrada.
O projeto da casa é o corpo na cama, é o carro de chave, é a lama, é a lama.
É um passo,
é uma ponte,
é um sapo,
é uma rã,
é um resto
de mato,
na luz
da manhã,
são as águas.